Netflix dropped the second season of its coming-of-age comedy Atypical today. The show follows an autistic teenager as he navigates life and love in high school. NPR TV critic Eric Deggans has been watching, and he joins us now. Eric, I know you liked the first season. How does the second one stack up?
I'm enjoying the second season even more than the first. There's an autistic teenager named Sam who in the first season decides that he wants to have a girlfriend. Well, he basically says he wants to have sex, but he wants to have a girlfriend. And that means he's going to be more independent from his family, particularly his mother, who's been taking care of him for many years. And that causes all of these dynamics inside the family that ripple out, including making the mother feel so rejected that she winds up having an affair. Spoiler alert. We're going to be talking about things from the first season for people who haven't seen it. But she does have an affair outside the marriage. It causes all kinds of effects. And her husband finds out because their daughter, who observed her mother having an affair, writes something on a bulletin board that's normally used to help the family organize itself. And as the second season starts, they're coping with it. So we have a clip where the daughter and the mother are kind of at odds with each other while they talk about dinner. And this will give you a sense of how the family dynamic has changed in the second season. Let's check it out.
So, what do you two think of the roast?
Why did you change the spice mix? Also, Elsa, you carved it weird. Dad carves it better. When is he coming back? Do we call him Doug?
No. We're still Mom and Dad.
Yeah, that's a good question. When is Dad coming home?
Well, he's at Grandpa's building the porch, so whenever that's done.
Well, I guess it's good that he's building a home instead of wrecking one.
So, Eric, it sounds like it's not just about a kid with autism. It's about a family.
Yeah, and it's about the fact that the family has had for years organized itself around Sam and his special needs as an autistic kid. And once he decides to become more independent, everybody in the family has to sort of reconsider, well, what is my role in this family now? And we get to learn all these layers. You know, the dad, who's played by Michael Rappaport, had initially abandoned the family when they found out that Sam had autism, and then he comes back and it makes him feel guilty. So he tolerates a lot of stuff from his wife until it gets to the point where she has an affair on him. And so while the first season was about this family kind of blowing apart in a way, the second season is much more about this family trying to figure out a new way of staying together. And Sam is considering going away to college, which for an autistic kid who's very used to rhythms and patterns and stability, this is a very frightening concept for him, the idea that he might do something that would change his life very significantly and maybe even require him to leave home and live in a different place.
There were people who watched that first season and had a problem with the fact that Keir Gilchrist, the young man who plays Sam, does not actually have autism in real life. But I understand that that the producers of the show have addressed that issue in the second season.
A little bit. They tried to cast some actors with autism in the first season, and we did see one or two. We see many more actors with autism. Sam basically joins a therapy group, and I think they're all played by kids who actually have autism. And so we get to see actors with autism actually perform in the show, and it brings an authenticity that's really important. I did a story last year where I talked to a couple of people with autism who had seen the show or had heard about the show to ask them about their concerns. And I think they have a great point when they talk about having humor that is based on the character's problems and difficulties with autism, that sometimes that can really be a problem. Then it feels as if they may have heard some of the criticism and addressed it. I just think they've done a better job this season of negotiating those issues.
Yeah. Finally, Eric, there's one more thing I want to ask you about. The Oscars dropped their new popular film category yesterday that was going to be in the awards ceremony next year. I guess people didn't like that idea. What do you make of it?
Yeah, that's putting it mildly. There was this explosion of criticism. Our own NPR's Linda Holmes had a great tweet about it, making the point that, you know, once you sort of segregate out movies that are considered quote unquote popular, you're sort of saying that popular is different than high quality, which is what the regular best picture category would be. The backlash was immediate. It was intense. People like Rob Lowe weighed in online. So in a way, it's not a surprise that the Academy said, hey, we're going to drop this for now. Now, their explanation was that we're 9 months into the year. There are a lot of movies out already that didn't necessarily understand that this new category was coming, and they're going to discuss it more. I don't think it's a bad idea to try to figure out how to make the Oscars friendlier to high-quality movies that are also very popular. Because right. I do think there are movies like Black Panther and Star Wars and that rack up huge amounts of money and are very popular, but are also very well-made. And for some reason, they get short shrift at the Oscars. But creating a category that kind of pushes all these quote-unquote popular movies into one, you know, arena, I'm not sure that's the best way to do it.
All right. NPR TV critic Eric Deggans, thanks as always.
Always a pleasure.